You're listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids,
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance off, bro. Me and you.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
I'm Sam Tweedle.
And I'm Chris Gilpin.
And this is another episode of Hey Kids Comics on a Friday night, and
It's a mood lighting Friday night in here.
Yeah,
looks like one of the lights have burned out, and so we're just under the spotlight here.
Yeah, it's kind of like in the old WKRP TV show when Venus Flytrap would do his show at night, and he had the candle all lit.
Not to mention a lady friend.
And a lady friend in the background. The only lady friend we have in the background is nobody.
Yeah.
Yes. So well, that's okay.
What's a WKRP?
Yeah. one of the best shows of the 70s, actually. I caught a couple of episodes not long ago. Holds up very well.
Yeah.
Sometimes those shows don't hold up very well, but...
Like 95% of the time?
No. You'd be surprised. Like, Chico and the Man holds up. WK holds up. Barney Miller holds up really well. But Alice does not hold up. You know? Happy Days surprisingly does not hold up. Yet Laverne and Shirley does. Try to figure that out.
Let's start the show over again, and we'll be like, welcome to the... award-winning Hey Kids Comics.
Let's do that. We're the
runners-up.
That is so exciting. And I tell you, I am very happy to know that so many people are listening and enjoying our show. It means a lot to me. And it surprises me. But should it surprise me? You know what? But whoever nominated us, I don't know who nominated us or who voted for us, but thank you to all of you. Because it just gives us more ammo to do this show and more reason to keep going.
So just to reference what we're actually talking
about,
Canadian Independent Comic Book Wiki Awards that came out in the online Sequential magazine this past week. We were voted as the runner-up for best podcast, favorite podcast, I should say. I mean, there's a big difference between best and favorite, I guess.
Always is, yes.
The winner of the best favorite podcast was Radio Free Krypton, which I actually haven't ever listened to, so I don't know.
Maybe we should start listening.
Yeah. So they were the favorite podcast, and we were the runners up. So
congratulations, Radio Free.
Yes, congratulations.
Krypton?
And we're coming for you.
That's right.
No. Honestly, we are a brotherhood. We are all a brotherhood in the Canadian comic band of brothers.
Yeah. And I thought that was super cool. We can talk some more about the awards and the winners and stuff.
Well, tell us some of the other winners there, Dan.
All right. Well, so first of all, I would like to, we'll post a link. We're bad at posting things on Facebook and whatnot, but we should share a link to the actual magazine on the Hey Kids Comics Facebook page so people can check it out, because Sequential magazine, I'm going to get the history wrong. I wish Marty was here for this, but it was a magazine that was around for a while about comics, Canadian comics specifically, and then it sort of ran its course. And Brendan Montgomery, who is a big fan of Canadian comics, he has resurrected this magazine in a digital format. And so this is the second year that he's done the awards, but it's the first year he's done it in conjunction with Sequential magazine. So you can go read Sequential magazine and get your your reviews of Canadian independent comics and find out some, get some interviews with some different creators and stuff. It's a really cool magazine. And then you can pay. It's one of those ones where you download it and pay whatever you want to pay.
Sure.
So, you know, I would suggest you put a couple bucks in there and help Brendan out for all of his hard work there. And then this, so it launched this past week for the relaunch and had the big, I mean, what better way to launch than with the winners from the Canadian Independent Comic Book Wiki Awards in the premier issue, right? So Ricky Lima was favorite Ricky. Writer yeah. for 2018.
Congratulations, Ricky.
And, yeah, Ricky's a friend of the show, a fan. I don't know if he's a fan of the show. I'll say I'm a fan of his.
I would as well.
And yes. Really enjoyed Happily Ever After and his Black Hole Hunters Club stuff. And he's got a Kickstarter we can talk about later.
Okay, cool.
So he won, and he was, I think, flabbergasted would be an okay word to say if you see his social media, that he was just so surprised that people, like, that he was voted favorite writer, you know? Because I think when you're, you know, as a writer and stuff, a lot of times you don't know if people actually like what you're putting out there. You don't know if people are actually, when it comes to a vote and people aren't looking you in the eye and being like, no, I like it. You know, because there's always that like, well, they're just saying that because they like me. But when it's a vote where nobody
knows. Or that
I'm
standing right here.
Exactly, right? Like so a closed vote where you don't know who voted for who and to come out on top. To be like, hey, they do like me. Yes, Ricky, we do like you.
Yeah. How about, so, what was for best book?
So best, well, we'll go down the list right. here. So Andrew Thomas was awarded favorite artist.
I saw that.
Which
that
is great.
That was pretty great. Yeah. That made me a lot happy, very happy.
Yep, Andrew's definitely a friend of the show.
He's and a super great guy.
Super great guy. Been on the show via the radio, the phone one time. And you know, I might be a little personally biased since I'm working on comics with him, but you know, great guy. Glad
well,
to get him awarded.
I'm not
that.
Working on any comics with him, and I'm pretty blunt about these things. But I like Andrew Thomas, so
yeah.
And I'm always right.
And you're always right. And then Radio Free Krypton, favorite podcast. Those were the main ones. I'm trying to pull this up here on my phone, and I'm getting. Into screenshots of other things to talk about. Yeah. Okay, so for best comic book of 2018, Jack Grimm Harbinger of Death, number 5 by Gary Boyarsky.
I have not read that.
Was voted number 1. He's he's a CCBA member. I haven't read number 5. I've read the first few from him. Mm. Has a very sort of like Cerebus style, black and white kind of thing. Going. So I haven't read that issue, but I have read some of the other ones. So that was pretty good. And Norlin, Sorceress of Light from Davis and Andrew, a spinoff out of the Auric world. That one was the runner up.
Oh.
And then third place went to Group of Seven, issues 2 and 3 from the iconic duo of Chris Sanigan and Jason Lapidus.
No, I haven't read number 3. I haven't got my hands on number 3 yet. I know I have 1 and 2, and those are fantastic.
Yeah.
What a great series.
Yeah, a great series, and like just so much in there, you know.
Are they going to be in Toronto?
I you know, that's a little, I'm assuming you mean because we always run into them at TCAF in May.
Something. I don't know. Like, well, there's the Toronto Comic Con's coming up in a couple of weeks, and I'd like to grab number 3 from them.
You know, I
should
don't
write them
know,
and find out. That's up to me. That's not the show.
I don't actually know.
Yes,
I haven't even. I don't even know if I'm going.
Oh,
but
we'll talk about that. In
yeah,
a
we'll
bit
we can talk about
yeah,
that.
We will.
Those were kind of the winners there. But the real winner is all of us for having Sequential Magazine, something that we can read and how much fun is it to vote for like your favorite. Writer and your favorite comic book.
I got to admit that I didn't always know who everybody was, so I was just voting for the people whose names I recognized.
I mean, that yeah. is very true, but also, like, you recognize the names for a reason. because we know their work.
Yeah.
We've talked to them. We've interacted. Like just because you recognize their name, if you didn't like them, you wouldn't have voted for them.
No, because, I mean, how many times have I crawled through Artist Alley and not, you know, noticed or took a look? What I find interesting is the one creators I've probably given the most money to all year, independent Canadian, were not voted for anything.
And who's
those
that?
Would be the folks that do Ghost Cats.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, I've given it's them a lot of money.
Well, Sam,
it's okay. That's okay.
You can write in votes on for next year.
You know what? I should do that. I mean, it's ghosts
with cats
and cats. And... they're ghost cats.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, how it doesn't get much better than that. It doesn't even matter what the book's about or that's if it's right. good or not.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I can't remember. They're very nice people. I can't remember their names. Last time I saw them, I bought a shirt and I bought a ghost cat stuffy, copies of all the books. It was great. Ghost cats.
Ghost cats.
Coming in 2019 to the Comic Awards.
They'll be like, you had one vote, Sam Tweedle.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, that's right. Ghost cats. Anyways.
Yeah.
So can we go back to the Toronto Comic Con just briefly?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. So Toronto Comic Con coming up in March. May.
March,
May, the other month starts with an M. And I've been planning on going because I just want to go hang out with some friends. You know what I mean? There has been nothing that's excited me about anything they've released. Their celebrity guests this year have been very underwhelming compared to last year and also compared to like the Niagara guest list, which is fantastic this year. I think Ron Perlman's been the only celebrity guest which I'm at all interested in, and even then, maybe not. However, this week they released their comic book guests were finally announced. Mm-hmm. And I am so excited. Probably one of my very favorite comic writers of all time, a true bona fide legend in the universe.
Ricky Lima.
Ricky Lima. And it's a guy I've never met. I've never been at a comic show with him, is going to be there. And that is Denny O'Neill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That is so cool. Denny O'Neill, for a lot of people who maybe have not read his work, and if you haven't read his work, like, shame, shame, shame. He was kind of, okay, so back in the 1960s, Marvel kind of became famous for bringing real life issues and emotions into superhero comics. So we can give Stan Lee the credit for doing that, okay? Like, that's what Stan did. So when DC wanted to copy that, the guy who actually started to write stories, like real world type stories, was Denny O'Neill. And he was sort of the first guy to bring that into DC Comics. And his writing was like, I don't want to say it was superior to anything that Marvel was doing at the time. It was different.
Different. Yeah.
It was different. And, I mean, the guy was a powerhouse. He started off on doing Justice League, and then he went on to, I think he did a few issues of Teen Titans, turning that from a kiddie book into something more serious. His most famous, without a doubt, well, he's a huge Batman writer. He basically brought Batman out of the pow, bang.
Yeah, the 50s camp.
And then there was the TV Batman. He was the one who...
Yeah,
brought him into him and Neil Adams doing that, and then they went on to the classic Green Arrow, Green Lantern,
the Hard Traveling Heroes.
Hard Traveling Heroes, and they did all of that. He went on to be an editor for DC Comics. I think he edited Batman right into the 80s. You know, so all that 70s stuff, like, you know, just unbelievable talent. And he did some really cool issues of Brave and the Bold, some of the cool Brave and the Bold books again when they were making them, you know. So he was kind of taking the Marvel example and bringing it to DC, and he did a great job. Some of the best books of the 60s and 70s were definitely written by Denny O'Neill. I've met Neil Adams many times. Sometimes that's fortunate, sometimes it's unfortunate. It depends on what day you get Neil Adams. Neil Adams is probably my favorite comic artist. But I have a lot of books autographed by Neil Adams, and it is so exciting to me to get those books also autographed by Denny O'Neill. I think I have all the Hard Traveling Hero graphic novels, and I have a Batman, I think a Denny O'Neill, Neil Adams Batman book, which I can't wait to get signed. But one thing that a lot of people don't know about Denny O'Neill, and I'm so excited to ask him about this.
Security.
I'm so excited. Because I asked Neil Adams' version of it. Neil Adams' version was really stupid. And I don't believe a word Neil Adams said because he tried to give himself credit. And it was a substanceless story. A lot of people don't realize that Denny O'Neill's the writer who brought Black Canary back to DC Comics in a prominent role. Because prior to Justice League of America number 72, 73, 74, 75, she was a Golden Age hero who was kind of on the obscure set, and they would bring her in for the Justice League JSA, JLA
crossovers.
Yeah. That's how she was reintroduced into DC Comics in the 60s. And somewhere along the line, they decided, okay, we need another female member on the Justice League other than Wonder Woman full time. So Denny O'Neill wrote a JLA crossover between 72, 73, and 74, where basically the JLA and the JSA was fighting this thing called the Star Smasher. I think it was called the Star Smasher. And in the 73rd issue, no, 74, Just League of America number 74, the Star thing, whatever it was, made the Aquarius Star, I don't know what it was. Anyways, it made the JLA and the JSA battle it out. Right? And ironically, or was it, Black Canary and Green Arrow are fighting. And Black Canary used to be married to a guy named Larry Lance. When she originally started in comics, her secret identity was Dinah Drake. And Larry Lance was her boyfriend. Anyways, he married them. So what Denny O'Neill did is he killed off Larry in issue 74, because Green Arrow took like a glue arrow, because everybody knows that's a great idea. And he sticks Black Canary down to the ground, and the Star thing is going to,
Aquarius.
The Aquarius, okay, it's going to destroy her, and Larry jumps into the way and sacrifices his life to spare the Black Canary. So she, devastated by the death of her husband, when the JSA go back to Earth 2, she decides to stay behind because she wants to start a brand new life. And then number 75 was what's considered the first Silver Age appearance of the Black Canary, because, which I'm not going to get involved, something that Marv Wolfman wrote in the 80s, we eventually find out that the Black Canary that stayed behind was not actually the Black Canary, but was the Black Canary's daughter that the Black Canary did not remember she even had. Don't get me to explain that story.
Yeah, no.
I can explain it. It will take the rest of the show. In Justice League of America number 75, again, Black Canary and Green Arrow were teamed up as like a narrator's of the story. Again, another story by Denny O'Neill. And then when he started doing the Hard Traveling Heroes saga, he very quickly brought the Black Canary in as sort of like, the way I read it, he explained it one time, is he looked at Green Arrow and Green Lantern as being sort of like the Huck Finn and Tom Sawyer of comics. Yeah. And he's like, Black Canary was...
Oh,
we know our comics, but do we know our classical literature? American literature?
Yeah.
The girl. I don't even remember whose girlfriend it was. Anyways. So I always thought it was really weird that Denny O'Neill decided to take this obscure Golden Age character out of nowhere and make her part of the current comic scene. Why the Black Canary? Why? I asked Neil Adams Neil Adams said to me, "Well, one day I drew a picture of the Black Cat. You know the Black Cat from Harvey Comics? I drew a picture of Black Cat. And everybody was like, hey, that's a great picture of the Black Cat. It's too bad we don't have the Black Cat as part of our wheelhouse." And I said, "Well, we could do the Black Canary." And everybody was like, "Great, let's do it."
So he claimed it.
Yeah, oh yeah. Neil, of course Neil Adams claimed it. Which I think this is the dumbest story I've ever heard. So I can't wait. I'm just so curious to know why the Black Canary. And a lot of people don't know that. Of course, I'm an obsessive Black Canary fan. That's why I know. But yeah. I'm so excited about Neil.
How disappointed are you going to be if Danny says the same story as Neil?
Oh, I'm going to be like,
Neil drew the Black Cat. And then we were like, yeah, man. You know, just be like,
Now, you know, famously, Neil Adams and Denny O'Neill do not get along and will not be at the same show. Because, Neil, they don't. Which is probably why Denny's never been to Toronto, because Neil shows up every...
fairly frequently.
Really frequently. So, and then there's some other really great... Phil Noto's going to be there.
Just before you skip, Marty posted... a picture of a graphic novel he got autographed by Neil Adams.
It's very cool.
And I looked at that picture and I was like, okay, I want to get Denny O'Neill to sign my like Hard Traveling Heroes Green Lantern trade. Like these, I just had this moment. I'm not an autograph guy. Like you're a big autograph guy. Yeah. I'm not an autograph guy. I'm shy and I don't like to talk to people. And I'm just, I would, you know, I'll walk by his table and be like, oh, that's a cool guy right there. But that's about my sort of thing. But, you know, all of these, like, truly iconic creators, artists, writers, they're getting up there. And Denny O'Neill might not ever be in Toronto again.
They're disappearing.
Like, I might not have a chance to get him to sign something. So I was like, I have to go. I have to get an autograph, even if it's, like, you know, $30 or something.
If you don't go, I'll get it for you.
I'll go, and I'll look him in the eye, shake his hand, and ask, so, about the Black Cat story.
But you know what? You made a good point. Like, I think about all the classic writers and artists that we've lost that I have been able to meet. Like, one of my greatest, I think one of the few times I ever really gushed with verbal diarrhea when I've met a creator, like, anybody. Like, I've met a lot of celebrities, was Joe Kubert. Yeah. I met Joe Kubert, and I had a Sergeant Rock hardcover, and when he signed, he has a very distinctive, famous autograph.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And when Joe Kubert signed his name in that autograph, all of a sudden, like, it was like, oh, look, it's a nice old man. Oh, he just signed the Joe Kubert. Oh, blah! And I started to just gush. Yeah. I was just beside myself. Him and Elvira.
Yeah,
Elvira made me lose my marbles, and she wasn't even dressed up as Elvira. But I remember those are the only two times I ever really turned into a babbling fanboy in front of a celebrity. I'm a babbling fanboy
behind
the scenes all the time. So, but we were saying that there's something. Phil Noto's going to be there. Another guy.
The other guy.
Who's the other big guy? I can't remember the.
I'm just, I was looking it up.
You were looking up?
I was looking up old covers.
Steve Englehart?
The Justice
League
covers.
Is that his name?
Yeah.
Steve Englehart's going to be there.
Yeah.
And there's another, Taylor.
Phil Noto.
I said him, didn't I?
Mike Zeck.
Mike Zeck, yeah. So I think those are the really big ones of the classic guys. So it's, you know, it finally gave me something to be excited about. So,
yeah.
Because otherwise I was just limping along. Hopefully, it's funny. I've read a lot of comments on the Facebook about people that have been very underwhelmed by the guest list so far.
Oh,
yeah. Ron Perlman for me. I mean, oh man, Steve Urkel's going to be there. Really? I can't think of.
But apparently, he does a lot of voice work.
Great. You know what? He is one of my least favorite. Like top five least favorite fictional characters in the history of media. Really. I hate Urkel so much. I hated Urkel when Urkel was on. I hate Urkel even more now. So I promise though that I will
That's
not
on you, not on Jaleel White.
Yeah, well anyways, I promise. This is a promise I am making to my friends at the Hey Kids Comic Hour, to our people out in the audience, to Fan Expo, who runs this thing. I will not throat punch Steve Urkel that entire weekend. That is a Sam.
But on Monday, when the weekend's over,
I'm hunting him down. I'm hunting him down like the dog he is. So, but no. I'm sure. I wish. What's his real name?
Jaleel White.
I wish him well in life.
Just far, far away from you.
I hope he is proud of the legacy he created. I wish him well. I wish him well. Just not on my TV. Just not on my TV. Anyway.
Oh, jeez.
So, other news. They dropped the Birds of Prey trailer this week. Did you guys see that?
I meant to watch it, but I forgot.
It's just a bit of a teaser.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting, actually.
Wasn't it just Harley Quinn just dancing around? I was watching it going...
What it is they actually flip through all the other characters really quick, but people started actually pausing it and putting together screen caps. And I'm going to say this. I don't want to make this... That's my phone. Sorry, guys.
Mid-rant. Sam's cut off.
It's probably Marty going, Sam, shut up. Stop talking to Sam. Why are you talking about the Black Canary again? Okay, I don't want to make this a Black Canary episode, but they've never done the Black Canary right in anything they've ever put her in, except the Justice League of America cartoon. They've just never, look, she's just a pretty white girl that does martial arts.
And screams.
That's it. It's not hard.
So you didn't like the TV series?
Oh, Birds of Prey TV series? Oh, God, that was horrible, horrible. And then Lori Loughlin from Family Matters Koshore show of Full House played Black Canary. Oh, man. That was God, it was horrible. They've never, ever got Black Canary. They've just never got it right. And I don't think they're going to get it right this time either. Because they've made her really edgy with dreadlocks and drinking a bottle of Jack Daniels. But when they actually, somebody took the screen cap and they had the screen cap of the woman playing her, she looks really cool. I'm even looking at that going, you know what? Huh. I might get on board.
I haven't been reading much about it, but I see that Mary Elizabeth Winstead is playing the Huntress.
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yeah. And then, she looks cool. And Renee Montoya is being played by,
Rosie Perez. That I heard.
That's pretty cool. Black Mask is being played by, Bradley Cooper or somebody? Isn't it Bradley Cooper?
No.
Cooper's in everything.
It's Ewan McGregor.
The same guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Bradley Cooper.
That was a bad Scottish accent.
Bradley Cooper shows up on everything. Anyway, it's a neat cast. And that little clip, that little 30 seconds of the Black Canary or whatever it was, just made me kind of go, okay, I kind of want to see what they do this time. We'll see. I'm sure I'll hate it. But it made me just that little bit more curious.
It's definitely, I think it's safe to say the Arrow TV show really messed up was her, then it was her sister, now it's someone else. And apparently there's another one coming.
Oh my god, and then did you ever, and remember on Smallville where they gave her that painted on raccoon mask?
Yeah.
You're like, what the hell was that? They just don't get it right. It's just a pretty white blonde girl that does martial arts and screams, and she's really nice. She's not edgy. She's not tough. She's just really nice. That's it. That's what makes the Black Canary the Black Canary. Yeah. Oh, and fishnets.
Yeah.
They've never given her fishnets.
No.
Except on that really terrible 1970s Challenge of the Super Friends thing. Yeah. But the most not talked about that, the better. But
well, anyways. It's funny you mention that because I was looking up the covers of those Justice League comics you were mentioning. I was looking up Oh, I was looking at Justice League of America number 75.
75. What is it?
Right? It's...
It's just fishnets.
Half of it is just her legs and fishnets.
Yeah, that's it. Taking Black Canary out of the fishnets is like taking Superman out of the cape. It's like taking Batman out of the cowl. It's like making the Hulk a color that's not green.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's simple. Fishnets, that's it.
Yeah.
That you don't need to play around with the costume. You don't need raccoon masks and you don't need ripped jeans and leather. Well, maybe a little leather. But fishnets. You just incorporate some fishnets. We're all fine. We're all friends again. That's it. How hard is it? Look, I have absolutely, in the most shallowest of ways, stripped down my favorite comic book character to its core. There's so much more to the Black Canary than all of that. But again, we don't want to make it the Black Canary hour. Just fishnets. Yeah. She's really nice.
I'll have to watch that trailer again.
It's a neat trailer. It's a neat, yeah.
All I remember is Harley Quinn dancing.
It's
around.
Heavy Harley.
Yeah.
But because she's a selling point, right?
Yeah.
Harley Quinn's never even
because
been a bird.
She's traditionally, she's traditionally associated with the birds of
she's
prey.
She's never been a bird
Not
of prey.
Once. Yeah.
She's been in the Bird of Prey comics, but she's never been a bird of prey ever in the history of the
obviously,
series.
They can't make a Birds of Prey movie without having a big established character, right?
I guess.
Because it wouldn't draw as much attention. But.
Yeah, I know. Because like it kind of like Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, you know, there were so many big established characters in that film series. And look how that
However, that was done by a studio that actually knows how to make superhero movies.
Ooh.
Not by DC.
Yes. Touché. So. Very well said.
But James Gunn, of course, they just announced he's working on something for DC.
What?
But he's revamping one of their movies. I can't remember which one. Oh, the new Suicide Squad.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah. So James Gunn, Suicide Squad. So expect that to be the Guardians of the Galaxy sequel you always wanted and won't get from Disney.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I you know what? I didn't mind the first Suicide Squad film. It was all right.
No, it was fun.
It was fun. I mean, it was okay.
Yeah. It wasn't like Oscar worthy, but it was fun.
Book. I'm sorry. They can't all be Black Panther.
No.
That's cool, man. Do you realize, I don't know if you guys talked about it last week, but historically, any movie based on a comic book gets looked over for the Oscars.
Yeah.
Always. I think, and this year we got two. We got Black Panther and we got Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which I think is quite going to be a contender with the winning the Golden Globe.
Yeah.
The only time any comic book movie has ever won, other than stuff like costumes or special effects or whatever, ever won an Oscar was Heath Ledger, and that was just a pity Oscar because he was dead.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that is cool. Do I think Black Panther is going to win? No. Do I think it's going to win a bunch of Oscars? Probably not. But just the fact that people are now looking at comic book movies with a critical eye.
Yeah.
I think The Watchmen would have been a better contender than Black Panther. Just for the cinematography alone and the fact they were able to weave that story the way they did. The writing, the cinematography was great. I think.
But when they reboot it, that one will go up for an Oscar.
Maybe. I don't know. I think it's cool.
No, I think it is. It's like, I don't want to use the word historic too much here, but it's a historic thing to have a movie that 10 years ago wouldn't have even been made. Okay, let's 15 years ago, because we've been doing Marvel movies for a while now.
Yeah.
And like, even 10 years ago after Marvel movies were being made, would have been laughed at if you said, like, that's an Oscar contender. People would just be like, shut your face, you're an idiot.
Right.
So. You know, like it's cool that it's resonated that a superhero movie can be an art form, not just a throwaway, you know, filler movie.
You know, this Christmas, I wrote to some cousins of mine in the U.S. They got some little kids and they have a big kid, and I'm close to the older daughter, but the kid, the little, I'm not.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't had as much with them, especially the youngest. Lorelai, who I think just turned 3. So last time I saw her, she was barely walking. So I like when I buy Christmas presents, I like to find stuff that they like. I don't want to be that adult who comes over and just randomly buys something and the kid's looking at it going, hey, I guess. You know, that happened to me a lot when I was a child. So I write to the parents. I'm like, okay, what are the small kids into right now, and superheroes are always big with them. And they write back and they're like, okay, so Lorelai is in Barbie and Wonder Woman and Black Panther. She's three.
Yeah.
Right? And she loves Black Panther. And I was like, so I sent her a Black Panther Christmas tree ornament. You know, I think that's so cool that these characters, like for a 3-year-old little girl that wears pink. Oh, and she loves Disney's Tangled. But you know what I mean? But yeah. Like, it's Tangled and Black Panther, you know, like, I think that's really cool. And again, a character like Black Panther, too, you know, like it's definitely a different world we're living in, especially from when I was a kid, where you liking superheroes was not cool when I was a kid. And but the Oscars is a funny thing. I mean, I think we talked recently about how even like more horror films are being nominated.
Yeah,
finally.
Yeah, we mentioned that a couple of episodes ago.
First
episode we did.
Yeah, and now superhero movies are getting the nod. So that's very cool. Before you got here,
Chris and I were having a conversation in the foyer about movies, romantic comedy movies and stuff, and some like tropes in them that can be done and dead, and mm-hmm. you know, and I had said, you know, in another 5 years you're going to get a whole new generation of filmmakers who don't believe in the stupid tropes that are being made in every romantic movie for people who are older making different styles of movies that don't have those same things. And it'll be interesting to think about, like, this could be a turning point for the Oscars to be more broad in their scope and not to just be like going for the snooty arty film, you know, the ones that are just literally being made to try to win an Oscar.
Yeah. Right. It might be,
I don't know. Like in 20 years, we might actually have the Oscars might actually be awards where, you know, movies that aren't just highbrow winning.
Well, but then you get something like, I want to go with something like The Shape of Water.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, which is highbrow, and it is artsy, and it is a romance film.
Sure.
But it's very much a monster film.
It is.
Okay, you know what I mean? Is it a horror film? But it's a monster film, and it is very artistic, yet was able to go with the sensibility of people like us that we could... I think sometimes what the Oscars might need to look for, or what they do look for, is where we get like more of a hybrid film. That's why I don't think Black Panther will win, is because I just don't think it's...
Like, it's just not quite there.
It's just not quite there. I don't know. You know what? I haven't seen all the ones that... right before the Oscars, all of a sudden you can download everything because they put out screeners.
Yeah.
And I usually try to work through all the films. And very rarely does the ones I actually like win.
Yeah.
And I haven't done too much of that this year, but there are some that I'm really curious about. I'm really interested in looking at. The one I'm really hoping for is Spider-Man. I just want Spider-Man to win Best Animated Film. I'm that's the Oscar one.
Have you seen that?
Oh yeah. We talked about it on the show.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, Chris.
I know.
Listen to one of our last shows. You can hear everything I say about it instead of making our audience right now re-listen to me.
All right.
Talk about why I think it is the greatest superhero movie, comic book movie made in the last 10 years. Maybe, like, or possibly even longer. And I really hope we get some live action films out of that universe that's now been created and now been placed over. Because I want a Miles Morales film so bad.
But isn't that universe like 100 universes with different Spider-Man?
But it's just a more interesting story, Chris.
Yeah.
We don't need another Peter Parker film.
I was tired.
Ever.
I was walking through Walmart like a couple weeks ago, and I looked down, and here's a Spider-Ham.
Yeah.
Action figure. Like, I'm going, oh, that's awesome.
Right?
It's a little pig that's Spider-Man.
I know. It's so great. It's so great.
No, I did not buy it.
No, you should. Yeah, well, that's too bad.
Yeah, but it was pretty cool.
I got to admit, I've picked up some of the Spider-Gwen stuff that's come out of merchandising from this film. I've picked up a few items now. So, but you know what? Honestly, by watching it, and I'm sorry, everyone, that we're reiterating this, but Miles Morales is the breakout character in that film, mm-hmm. and he is now becoming, because of that film, has now become a character to the mind of the mass populace. Both him and Spider-Gwen, Yeah. And of course, there is Peter Parker, Spider Noir. So, you know, some other really cool characters, but I think really they sort of step up to Spider-Gwen and Miles step up to plate in a big way as becoming household names. And I think it'd be great to finally see live action versions of them. And I really think that's the route the Spider-Man movie should be going now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think this film is a great launching pad for that. But okay.
I think it would have a better chance of winning the Black Panther in its category.
Yeah,
I think so. Category. I think, and by winning the Golden Globe, I think that seals it. Honestly, it's a very interesting animation style. You've seen it, right,
it's
Dan?
Computer.
I haven't.
You
seen
haven't
it
either.
Still, no.
It's computer generated.
It's computer generated.
Everything's computer generated.
The only way I can explain it, it's like if you took American comic books, some anime type tropes, and street graffiti, mm-hmm. and you put that together in this this animation. That's the best way to describe it. I think Marty was pointing out to me when we were talking that they actually slow down some of the animation frames or whatever to make that happen, and he kind of got a little distracted by that. But I thought it was really cool. I thought it was like a really unique way to the art in it, and the animation was, it was a really unique, I don't think I've seen anything like it. So It was really interesting to see how, so that to me, like the artistic aesthetic of it, I found fascinating. So the film snob in me could really appreciate that.
Yeah.
I just love the characters. The story was coherent, yet really involved, but told in a way that any audience member of any age could grasp it. You know, like it was so clever the way that they opened up the Spider-Verse and explained it. So even like a 6-year-old.
Oh, Sam.
Sorry, I gotta mute that.
Yeah,
so like even a 6-year-old can
get distracted by their cell phone.
Even a 6-year-old can get it. You know what I mean? Like Even though it's talking about multi-universes and all that stuff, just the some funny, really funny jokes. Obviously, a great post-credit sequence that I don't want to give away. And Stan Lee's last film cameo.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's animated, but he did his voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's everybody. I'm sorry it's the second time I've talked about everybody, but everybody needs to.
My fault.
It.
My fault.
Sorry. You should have just listened to that episode, Chris.
Yeah.
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 I spent a lot of time watching. And this is totally just Stan Lee, but I spent a lot of time watching a channel called H2. It's like a History Channel 2,
okay.
Like TSN 2. But
yeah,
it's.
Yeah.
But there's a show, they keep promoting the show that they're going to start playing. Obviously, it's old, but it's Stan Lee superheroes or something, real life superheroes or something. But it's just kind of sad. Like every 10 minutes, they play this commercial for this Stan Lee superhero, real life superheroes. And I don't know when it was made. It must have been made like years and years ago. But anyways.
And you're just like, Stan Lee. We're still not okay. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Speaking of shows, the CW has renewed The Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, Arrow, Supergirl, Black Lightning, and Riverdale.
Oh, yes, they sure have.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah, it's funny. I know we've had this conversation before, and I'm sorry, Sam, but
that's okay.
Let's just say I enjoy Riverdale.
That's fine. That's your right.
But I can
still,
see.
We're still. I enjoy Brian Michael Bendis.
I mean, if I. Touche.
You know, we don't even agree. Well,
fight in the parking lot.
Right. Yeah, right.
I like Riverdale. I find it very well. Anyway, I enjoy it, but I can see it from your point of view because it is absolutely nothing to do with the comic whatsoever.
Nothing to do with the
nothing
comic whatsoever. Not one bit.
Like, if I could tell you stuff right now and you would just be fuming.
You know what?
I'm not
let's keep.
To.
No, don't do it because let's keep this show friendly.
Okay.
All right.
So I'm not surprised it got renewed. Uh-huh. I'm not surprised any of them got renewed because superhero stuff is big right now.
I've lost track of all those shows that I watch. I'd like to get back into Supergirl. I haven't seen it since season one, but man, I always enjoyed it. And I haven't seen Legends since season one, and I enjoyed that too. I'm just watching different stuff, I guess.
I'm pretty much up to date on all of them except Arrow.
Everybody says that to me. people...
I don't know.
I have tried so many times to get back in the air. Every time a new Black Canary is introduced, I'm like, this is the time!
Yeah.
This will be my Black Canary! And then, no. And then I'm out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been watching... I shouldn't distract. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm interrupting you, Chris.
Supergirl. That's one of my favorites for different reasons. But Martian Manhunter, and the references to obviously the Legion of Superheroes, because Brainiac's on there. The Brainiac
5.
Yeah. Although, not overly. I like the actor. The actor's fine. He was in a show I used to watch, and I can't remember the name of it. But anyways, when he looks human. Because that's like his disguise.
Right.
That he looks like the actor. Mm-hmm. But when he turns...
Green?
No, white.
What?
Yeah. I'm not overly impressed with that. I mean, Martian Manhunter looks great.
Does he turn green?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I haven't gotten to the point episodes with him yet.
Yeah. So I don't know why they've changed.
Well, because maybe it's like, you can't have two
green. Why is everybody green?
You can't have two green characters, Chris.
That's right.
You can't have two green characters. People get confused.
Yeah.
We won't, but...
No.
People in general.
Flash, I love.
I haven't seen that since season one.
I'm a huge, huge fan. Yeah.
I'm a big with these where I watched season one of all of them and then never carried on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not that I didn't like them.
Yeah.
Just except Arrow. But, you know, I just never. I've been working through movies, nerdy movies, that I never saw before. And me and Chris have had this conversation. I'd like to... What I did over last week is I watched the Back to the Future trilogy.
Yeah.
And I had seen the first one when it came out. And I must have seen it again sometime in the... How many years has that been? About 40 years? Or
yeah, at least 30.
30 years. Yeah. I know I'd seen it again once somewhere along the way.
Yeah.
But I'd never seen the sequels. And I didn't.
I find that literally mind blowing.
And I didn't have
mind blowing.
I didn't have the best working knowledge of the first one. Okay, so I bought the trilogy for $13, I think, and I went home and I watched them. And now, as someone who's been through films, you know, did film in university, has watched thousands of films, knows a thing or two about movies, I'm watching Back to the Future with those eyes, and. I mean, Chris has had to listen to this already. First Black Back to the Future is so good.
Mm-hmm.
What a great film. What a wonderful story. Michael J. Fox gives such a warm performance. Great ideas and subplots and supporting characters. And they play with the butterfly effect in such great ways. Yeah. And Doc Brown is such a great character in every way. And it's just a great, great, great film. And we get number two. Which is a giant piece of crap. That movie is so awful. I'm watching it. I'm like, how can a movie go from so good to such a giant piece of crap?
Yeah, it was pretty
convoluted cheesy. Plot. And the dumbest thing, and of course, you got to remember, I'm watching this thing. There was a big gap, I guess, between the two movies, like 6-7 years or something. So people maybe forgot. But they put this whole subplot about when they call Michael Marty McFly chicken, he gets all crazy. That's not even in the first movie. And it's stupid. Look.
Yeah, because they put it through to the third one too, right?
And then you get the third one.
Yeah.
Third one is better.
Better.
It's better than the second one. Is it great? I don't know. It's okay. But the idea of how do you get a DeLorean to run again...
Yeah, like the steampunkness of it and stuff.
That is so cool. Yeah. That was so cool. Now I know our listeners are listening, going, Tweedle, like I thought you were a movie expert. Why are we going through this? I just saw these for the first time last week.
Yeah.
Back to the Future number 3 is like an iconic part of my childhood. Like I swear it was on TV every Saturday, and I've seen it a million times.
How did I miss it?
I don't know, Sam. Like, how? But yeah.
I like number 3. Number but 2.
They could have pulled out number 2 and just made 1 and 3.
They could have. And number right, 2, just... even in the Me Too generation kind of thing, I'm really uncomfortable. Like his girlfriend there, you like her.
Leah Thompson.
Yeah. How many times
girlfriend, it's his mother.
How many times did they knock her out?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like in the
Oh, that was in the girlfriend, two. Yeah.
The girlfriend, right? They just keep like knocking her out, giving her like sleeping pills, you know, like roofing her, you know, leaving her in a garbage pile, leaving her on the porch. Like, it's like, whoa, that's really creepy. Like, who wrote those scenes? Bill Cosby? Like, what? You know what I mean? Like, that is creepy stuff.
That was the actress from Elizabeth Shue. Adventures in Babysitting.
Adventures in Babysitting, right? Yeah. Oh, man, I loved her in that one.
We could talk about that because Thor's in that one.
Yeah, and I watched that one a lot as a kid because I had the biggest crush on her. Yeah. But she was blonde.
You've seen that, Dan?
No.
Do you know the Thor reference?
Oh, it's great. Yeah. Did Thor appear on the Incredible Hulk TV movie first or
I don't
Adventures
know.
In Babysitting first?
I don't know.
That was such a random thing, wasn't it? Because Thor wasn't like a really big character in the 80s like that.
Yeah. Well, the youngest kid, the girl, idolized Thor. And she had like the helmet.
Helmet and the hammer. Yeah. And
you know, story, adventure, blah, blah, blah. Car gets towed. They go to the mechanic to get the car. He comes out. Mm-hmm. Big guy, blonde hair, long hair.
Who's a real, like, he's mean.
Yeah. But the little girl goes, "Here's your hammer, Thor. And he all softens up, right?
Now, I bought that maybe about a year or so ago and saw that again for the first time in years. And that movie holds up surprisingly well.
Yeah, it was a fun movie.
Yeah. I was surprised to see that they did one of the songs, you know, when she hooks up with the guy at the club and they dance?
Yeah, yeah.
One of the songs, it was actually a Leonard Cohen song, being redone by somebody, which I thought was kind of neat. But that Thor thing, it's so random.
Yeah.
And it's just this random weird character thing that they throw in there, and it's really cool.
Yeah. Number three, one and two. Okay, so yeah, sorry, one and three also had really good music soundtracks.
They did, yes, right? Agreed.
Like ZZ Top was in three.
Yes,
right,
and there was a lot of Huey Lewis in number one.
Oh, I love that. Huey Lewis songs are great.
Right? Huey Lewis did a song for number two as well.
Did he? I can't even remember that.
No, because it was terrible, because it was number two.
When you got Michael J. Fox doing Johnny Be Good, that's...
Was that... Did he really sing that, or did he... I think he lip-sang. He definitely wasn't playing guitar.
He does play... he did play guitar, I think. Anyways, I'd have to look it up. But that's an interesting thing, is that I was going to say, if you go and look at the outtakes and the different stuff, the different facts from the movie, because I think it was Eric Stoltz was originally pegged to play Marty McFly.
Really?
Yeah, and there's a scene, you know, when in the diner for the first time, and his dad's there, and you see his dad from this side, and Marty kind of peeks around to look at him, going like, "Oh my God, you're my father." Mm-hmm. Well, there's a scene, like an actually filmed scene, that Eric Stoltz does that.
Really? Okay, that's cool. Interesting.
Yeah, who's the father? He's
a Crispin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crispin Glover. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there was something about number two or three where...
Apparently he's crazy in real life. Eh?
Well, he didn't sign up for one of the sequels, so they had like a double almost in the background.
They shemped him.
That's why you don't see him, right? You see...
That's called... Did you know that that was traditionally called shemping?
Yeah,
because Shemp died before a film and they had to...
That's had the Three Stooges for you youngins.
Shemp heads, yeah. Last night, I watched for the first time in my life Cannonball Run.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'd never seen it.
Are you really?
I never seen it. No.
Okay, I can see Back to the Future 2 and 3, maybe.
I had never seen it. Never. I've seen it now.
Oh.
I love the cast.
That
cast is awesome.
You talk about outtakes. You watched the outtakes from that between Burt Reynolds and Dom DeLuise. They are constantly blowing their lines and laughing.
But I'm watching that movie, and I didn't know much about it. I bought it for like $3 at Talese.
Really?
Well, and they had Deliverance there too. I mean, some Burt Reynolds fan gave up their DVD collection that day. So I bought it for $3. I'd never seen it before, and I'm like, I knew Burt Reynolds and Don DeLuise were in it.
Yeah.
That's it. Oh, no, I think I knew Sammy Davis and Dean Martin were in it, but I thought they were cameos. I didn't realize their characters were...
Yeah, actual racers.
Actual racers. I thought they had done a cute scene or a cameo. Yeah. I didn't know Roger Moore was in it.
Jackie Chan?
I didn't know Jackie Chan was in it.
First American movie.
I didn't know Farrah Fawcett was in it. Mm-hmm. So I really enjoyed the performances. It's a stupid movie. It's not a good movie.
Yeah.
But it's the performances were great. Do I want to see number two? And that's my question to end this show.
No.
Do I want to see number two?
Was that the elephant one?
I haven't seen either.
I know Marty. I don't even know. Marty says there's a number three maybe that has some kind of weird Canadian thing. And I know he spent a lot of time tracking it down, and he hasn't. He's big on that third one.
Yeah.
But let's end the show. Vote. Take a vote. Do I see Cannonball Run number two?
I would say once you have to see it.
Yeah. It's, what do you think, Dan?
Sure.
You've never seen it.
Are you a masochist?
I've never seen Smokey and the Bandit either.
I've never seen it either.
You know what's so funny? These are the movies I haven't seen, but you know how many weird movies I have seen, right?
Cannibal,
like I've seen
Cannibal Holocaust.
Have we all told the story to the listeners about Chris so. And Cannibal Holocaust?
Yeah, I'm not sure. We don't have time for it.
We don't have time for it, but trust me, it was painful to watch Chris watch this movie.
Yeah. All right. And on that note, that's all the time we've got for this episode of Hey Kids Comics. As always, check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. And Marty's already got the link up on the Facebook to the Sequential Magazine. So thanks, Marty.
Thanks, Marty.
And make sure you check that out and give them a little donation if you feel so inclined. But definitely give that magazine a read. And tune in next week.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?